The Reserve Bank is warning the shocks from the COVID-19 pandemic have yet to be felt because of financial support measures put in place. In its sixth monthly financial stability report, the bank says the economy is in better shape than expected, but a sharp fall in house prices or a rise in unemployment are both possible threats to New Zealand's financial stability. The Reserve Bank has also announced a reintroduction of loan-to-value ratios next year to reduce the growth of low-deposit home loans. Adrian Orr is the Governor of the Reserve Bank and joins us now. Morena.
Morena.
The loan-to-value ratios, you've chosen to put them back in at 20% for first home buyers and 30% for investors. Did you give consideration to going stronger measures in particular for investors?
Well, that's exactly what we're consulting on. So we've announced what we will be talking to the banks about. We haven't physically put the ratios in yet, but the good news is the banks have moved in advance anyway, given the usual high success rate of the consultation on this topic and the end outcome. But part of that consultation, yes, of course, we can consider the levels we need to manage the financial risk posed.
Yes, because I see reports out this morning that people making large capital gains on housing, I mean, that's a pretty much a given. A lot of investors wouldn't be put off by a 30% deposit, would they? I mean, do you need to go higher to 40% to try and really deter that speculation?
Well, I think it's important to understand the reason why we consider loan-to-value ratios, and that is really about making sure there's not excess leverage or excess debt borrowing in the housing market, because that's where households, whether they be investors or owner-occupiers, can find themselves in trouble. And more importantly, if banks are doing a lot of it, it becomes a very concentrated part of a bank loan book. And that means if unemployment rose or interest rates increased and people can't service those debts, it becomes the bank's problem. They have too much skin in the game. So we're saying to banks, if you can't control your own portfolio, we will put these constraints in there, and you can blame us for not lending to people rather than your own appetite.
So what you're saying then is that the LVRs are not the mechanism to stop the speculation?
I would say that they would make people take pause, but it's still not obvious that that would be the one around what happens to the marginal price of housing. There's still plenty of people in the market, plenty of people who can meet those hurdle rates of, you know, those deposit rates, both owner-occupiers and or investors. We're just saying be careful around that very high leverage. Mm. Because our purpose is financial stability. We're not here to control relative prices.
Understood. The other more, I guess, turbocharged version of that is debt-to-income ratios. Now, I think the Reserve Bank in previous iterations has asked for that from the government, and the government has denied it as a tool. Do you want them as a tool in your toolkit?
We think, you know, our view, and we haven't, you know, we're dusting off the research on that, but yes would be the simple answer. You know, if we're trying to have effective tools that can head off excessive borrowing, then a debt-to-income ratio is one of those. And, you know, again, it can be used in tandem. All of these tools have trade-offs. The more tools, the more options, and the better we can.
And just for those at home who aren't familiar with debt-to-income ratios, because they're not that, they haven't been used here before, I don't believe, they are used in places like England. What we're talking about is that there would be a limit to your income. Say, I think it's in the UK, it's, what, 5 times your income? That's the maximum you could borrow.
That's right. You know, there's different ratios going on, but they're relatively common internationally, and they are used, again, to head off people. You know, for example, at the moment with interest rates so low, servicing a loan has become easier. You know, that is the purpose of a low interest rate. But there is still meaning that the stock of debt being taken on becomes, you know, an equal risk. Because, for example, if you don't have a job, it doesn't matter what the interest rate level is, you can't service that loan and it becomes a bad debt. And that becomes a non-performing loan for the financial institutions and so on and so forth. So this puts a limit to it on debt to income. Our challenge, of course, is income shift, just as debt level shift. So, you know, there's no perfect tool, just as valuation shift on the loan-to-value tools. People keep thinking about the level of the loan. Well, actually, it's related to the value as well. So, you know, there are benefits and costs of these tools, and that's what we need to talk about. to government about.
Well, on the issue of talking to the government, the letter from Grant Robertson, and I think the political comments we've seen from opposition parties too, are they overstepping the line in terms of independence of the Reserve Bank? I mean, if we look at the market, it has interpreted that letter as a sign that it will now be more difficult for you to make another cut in interest rates, even if that is clearly justified by what you're seeing in terms of inflation and unemployment.
Yeah, so, you know, markets are good about guessing, 15 of our next two moves. That's what markets do. But, the letter itself is a very open letter. It's saying have consideration. It provides some options. And really what it's saying is, can you assist us in a whole-of-government effort to think about affordable
housing? Sure, I'm sorry to interrupt, but you don't believe it has hamstrung you?
It's been very clear in the letter that our objectives do not change, our operational independence is not impacted, and they want advice. So, you know, we remain completely focused on stable inflation and maximising sustainable employment, because that is the most...
Yes, and you say you do give housing consideration, but can you just explain to us what would happen if you did have to give more weight on housing? Because some economists argue that if you had to put greater weight on asset prices and housing during this crisis, then unemployment would be higher.
Yes, and I think all other things equal, that's correct. So really what's been talked about is there's the high level objectives, inflation and employment. If house prices were put in the high level objective, which is not being considered at all, then we would be trying to hit three targets with a single stone. At the moment we can achieve the inflation and employment, but for example at the moment we would be having to raise interest rates to lower house prices, which would mean all other things unchanged, higher than otherwise exchange rates, higher than otherwise interest rates, and hence lower employment and lower inflation. So there is no free lunch. There are trade-offs.
And
what is being suggested is that we have consideration for asset prices, which we currently for house price, which we currently do.
Right. So you're going to now give some advice back to the government. Will you call on them to relook at tax, which is something the Reserve Bank has done in the past, urged governments to look at things like capital gains taxes. Will you call on them to do that?
We will call on them to look at the full suite of whole of government instruments
tax
that are available. And tax would be one, but, you know, from what I understand, and I'm only seeing the popular media myself, capital gains tax, wealth tax are off the table. But there are many other tax issues in there. We will talk very openly about that. And I do want to note that, the letter we received is cast in a whole of government discussion. So there is a work plan, I understand, being put in place by the New Zealand Treasury. They are the fiscal policy experts. They are the chief economic advisors to the Minister of Finance.
Can I ask you then about the bright line test, which is an existing tax on properties that are flipped, not your private home. It's currently at a five-year bright line test. Grant Robertson not ruling out extending that. Would there be merit in pushing that out to, say, 10 or 15 years and making it some would argue, a quasi-capital gains tax?
A perpetual bright line tax probably does start to equal a capital gains tax, but I don't want to go into what we have not sat down and considered all of these, and I want to do it properly, holistically on the way through, because whilst people focus on capital gains, wealth tax, there are many other forms of property market intervention as well as just those two taxation levels. But, you know, we need to provide frank advice with the full integrity of the team here at the Reserve Bank of New Zealand. We've been asked to do that very openly. I received the letter at the same time as yourselves after some discussion. And so we're here.
Just before we go, what is your advice to New Zealanders? You've talked about the obsession, unhealthy obsession Kiwis have with property, the media attention that property gets. This has been going on for years. What would you say to New Zealanders this morning that are still reading the papers about property, wanting to buy property, wanting to invest? What is your message to them?
I would say property, first and foremost, is a thing that you live in. It is a consumption good. It is housing. If you are thinking about it as an investment, i.e. in addition to where you want to live, then there is no free lunch. There are significant risks that come with housing and significant risks that come with debt and leverage. And one of the most significant risks is economic shocks, such as the COVID-19 virus that we're not through yet, which can significantly impact on your employment and your ability to service any debt. So debt comes with dangers, and having all your money in one egg, the eggs in the basket, all your money in one asset is high-risk speculation.
Adrian Orr, thank you very much for your time. Governor of the Reserve Bank.